Hi, friends. This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying the conquering Lamb of Revelation, and this is Day 11, Overcoming by the Blood of the Lamb, Revelation 12:11. Let's pray. We come to you this morning, O Lord, with thanksgiving and praise and worship. O God, we know that you have made us overcomers. Teach us, O Lord, about doing that, and then help us today to live in such a way that we do overcome Satan, the world, and the flesh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we reach our next mention of the Lamb in Revelation 12:11, a lot is happening. Revelation 8 and 9 take us through the six trumpets of judgment upon the earth. Then there's an angel with a little scroll in Revelation 10, and the two witnesses in Revelation 1:11-15. Finally, the seventh trumpet is blown with the ringing declaration, Revelation 11:15. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This statement seems to mark an end and a new beginning in the book of Revelation. For at this point, verse 19, God's temple in heaven was opened and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. Now, Revelation shifts from a series of unfolding judgments to an allegorical vision in chapter 12 that reveals the cosmic drama taking place in heaven and on earth. A woman gives birth to a male child, verse 5, obviously Jesus the Messiah. A red dragon, who represents Satan, tries to devour it, but the male child is caught up to God and to his throne. War breaks out in heaven, and the dragon is defeated and thrown down to the earth, identified as that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, so that the war continues on earth against God's people. The battle is intense, but the end is in sight. In the middle of this conflict with the red dragon, a loud voice from heaven heralds in verses 10 and 11, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death." Scholars have debated exactly where on the time scale we can place the downfall of Satan. I'm not sure. Jesus refers to it when he receives reports of demons being exorcised by the 70 or 72 disciples that were sent out. Luke 10:18, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." But certainly this kingdom has come by the time when John the Baptist comes preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus is baptized by John. Immediately after, Satan tempts Jesus in the wilderness. Then Jesus himself comes proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I particularly want to explore the next verse, Revelation 12:11. "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death." First, let's get our pronoun references straight. It's obvious from the context of verse 10 that the phrase "they have conquered him" means the brothers and sisters have conquered Satan. Many examples in ancient Greek indicate that the plural of brothers, adelphoi, can also mean brothers and sisters, not just males. Conquered is the verb nakao, to win in the face of obstacles, be victor, conquer, overcome, prevail. Jesus tells his disciples, John 16:33, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This word to overcome, to conquer, is a key verb and theme in the book of Revelation. The Lamb is worthy because he, as the Lion, has conquered, Revelation 5:5. Each of the seven letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3 gives a promise to the one who conquers. The Lamb conquers those who make war on the Lamb and his kingdom, utterly defeating them. Revelation 17:14. The Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Ultimately, he brings Satan, the serpent, and the Antichrist, the beast from the sea, and the false prophet, the second beast from the earth, Revelation 19:20, to judgment in the lake of fire. And in our passage, the saints conquer Satan through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You might ask, what good is victory if you die in the process? Good question. Let me respond in two ways. Jesus won a victory on the cross, though he died in the process. On the cross, he paid the ransom for all our sins to set us free. Two, great warriors are conquered even when they die in battle. They don't give up. They don't surrender. They die with their sword in their hands. Standing rather than retreating is what we are called to do. Paul writes in Ephesians 6:13, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand." One of the differences between a casual believer and a disciple is that a disciple deliberately follows Jesus and consciously stands against the pull and undertow of the culture. If we are willing to die rather than turn away from Jesus, then we are disciples indeed. Jesus himself modeled and taught this kind of radical commitment, Luke 9:23-24. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." If Satan can scare us into submission or threaten us into being quiet about our faith, he wins. But when we wake up every morning willing to lay down our lives for Jesus, then we are truly out of control so far as Satan is concerned. That is the only stance we can take and still follow Jesus wherever he leads us. Our salvation, however, isn't dependent upon how faithful we are, how courageous. Rather, we are saved by trusting that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We are saved by his grace solely, completely. Dying to self comes after this, and that's why this order is maintained in verse 11. 1, saved by the blood of the Lamb, and 2, saved by our consistent testimony, even in the face of death. The shed blood of Jesus is God's unilateral payment of a ransom for our souls. It stands in history, redeeming all believers under the Old Covenant as well as all believers under the New Covenant. The blood of a young sheep, a lamb, might represent atonement for the sins of a man or his family, but the blood of the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. This is the main message of the book of Hebrews. Animal sacrifices may cover sin, but the sacrifice of the Son of God is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, Hebrews 7:25. We explored the power of the blood of the Lamb further on day 8. One of the most moving scenes recorded in early Christian literature is the martyrdom of Polycarp, Bishop of Smyrna. During a period of intense persecution in 155 AD, this venerable saint and leader, now an elderly man, is hauled before a Roman magistrate who insists that he deny Christ. He is threatened with death by lions, then to be burned alive, but he will not deny Christ. Church historian Eusebius records, "When the magistrate pressed him and said, 'Swear, and I will release you, revile Christ,' Polycarp said, 86 years I have been serving him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" Finally, the proconsul sends his herald to proclaim 3 times in the midst of the stadium, "Polycarp has confessed that he is a Christian," and the old man is delivered to the flames. Who conquered whom? Did the Christ haters actually get the victory by killing an elderly Christian man? Hardly. Polycarp overwhelmingly conquers that day, as his unshaken testimony rings across the stadium. Indeed, even persecution and death are no defeat. Romans 8:37. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Let's pray. Father, help us to take up our cross each day, willing to die, trusting in the redeeming blood of the Lamb, refusing to be silenced by the world, and thus conquering by the Spirit's power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our day 11 meditation is from Revelation 12:11. How does the blood of the Lamb enable us to conquer Satan? How does the word of our testimony show victory over Satan? Why is it necessary to take up our cross daily in order to conquer? Hey friends, go out and serve Christ today with joy. Amen.